So I feel like if a man is out in the world with his butt crack out and he has a lady, she should address that.
But see, even that, I'm like, fuck, how is he pulling that off?
Like how's he getting away with it?
He's the man. He's the man.
That's what you think about butt cracks out in the
world?
He's got to
be. I feel like that every time I see anything that a guy is doing, or if he was by himself, he would just be a gross guy. But then he's with a lady and he's still doing that thing. It's like, fuck, he's the man. He's got to be.
I was with
he
lady.
Has a lady.
I was with ladies today, and one of them was complaining that their man buys all his clothes from Costco. And yeah. She was like to the point where he like hides them in the dog cage when he brings them home because he's not supposed to buy his clothes from Costco anymore.
Yeah, he's just like Carhartt underwear, like thick, heavy, just like Carhartt everything, just boxy.
Yeah.
You know, like weird fluorescent colors and stuff.
Yeah.
I get it, man. How's he pulling it off? That's you know, that's what you see. You see a guy walking around like that, and you see it. It's like he's in his like formal, like flagger uniform. You know what I mean? Like that's like, yeah, that's you know, you see people at, you know, when we go to different events like kids concerts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you see people show up in that type of gear, mm-hmm. where it's like, that's, you didn't just get done work. What are you doing? That's how you dress.
Yeah.
This is how you dress.
Yeah.
Right on, dude. Like right on, man. You're the man.
Do you feel like you're out there being the man, or do you feel like you're out there being stylish?
I don't know what I would do if I thought I was being stylish. I couldn't live that life.
No.
I can't be that. I couldn't.
Do you remember back to when you used to be stylish? That was like before you met me, right? Like ever since I met you, like you were kind of like sworn off of being stylish.
Well, it was kind of, a lot of it was grandfathered in. Right. Because mm-hmm. my mom was stylish.
And she bought you all the clothes.
She bought me a lot of clothes early on, or she picked out my clothes.
Yeah.
Or she was like, you got to buy this. You got to buy this. Like I was technically supposed to be picking it out.
Yeah.
But she'd be literally sitting on my shoulder. You got to buy this. You got to buy this. You know, just like there's one angel on my shoulder.
Yeah.
Like one. But I don't know. It was because for a long time I was buying my own clothes, but it was still with the sensibility that she put on me.
Yeah.
And while that sensibility still had momentum, I was able to buy clothes with that in mind.
Yeah.
But then once fashion started to change, like clothes started to change, and now I have to decide, like, how do I dress?
Like, I so get why people are in, like, their 50s and are dressing like they did when they're in their 20s. Like, I feel like when you're young, you're like, why is mom dressing like that?
Yeah.
Like, ew, mom. And, like, now I'm like, I get it.
Uh-huh. It worked. I remember that this worked.
Yeah. It gets hard when you get older. You're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
But even then, it was just like now I'm picking, like now I got to be fashionable.
Yeah.
And then I'm in stores like holding shirts up to a light, like, and I'm like, why did I even do it? Like, what am I doing? Like, or like, you know, I would hold a shirt up to my own body.
Yeah.
To get an idea of how it would look on me.
Yeah.
I can't imagine
doing
living
that
nowadays.
That way.
Like, I can't imagine living that way.
I used to be fashionable. When you met me, I was pretty fashionable.
You're all right.
I was all right. Yeah. I thought I was fashionable.
I mean, you made the effort, and I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
There's no way I can make a consistent effort to be fashionable.
Yeah.
It sounds torturous. It sounds torturous to like have to care about how my shoes look.
Yeah. Like wearing uncomfortable shoes right now. I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why you're doing that to yourself, but no, thank you.
Because now I have other reasons why I can't see if I can clear this puddle.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's like, it's not even about like, man, it's a long puddle. You know, it's more about like, I don't want to get these shoes messy. I couldn't imagine living like that. Like walking around thinking about.
I'm in this constant battle of like with my son, with Finn, like I don't want him to think that he's more athletic than me. And
yeah.
I'm like, I know the day is coming. And like, it's like I can't wear those shoes because I'm not faster than him in those shoes.
Yeah.
And my days are numbered.
That's funny. So once you start wearing high heels, that's when your son is more athletic than you. That would be like, well, no, you'll be like a trophy. You'll like start dressing like all fancy and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, again.
Like his trophy. Like that would be your fanciness will be his trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so I, you hear about recently to show solidarity to the Black Lives Matter movement.
Oh boy.
Some foreign influencers, some like European and Asian influencers,
mm-hmm.
they in to show solidarity, they wore some blackface.
No, yeah. I knew it was coming. I knew it.
It's back, baby.
No, they didn't. How did they? They thought that this was going to be a good thing. Like, obviously, this didn't go well, right?
Well, I mean, like, before we get into this ridiculously, you have to keep in mind that they don't have the same social stigma about blackface because they don't have the same historical context about blackface that we do.
But even without, like, we've seen everybody get in trouble with it recently.
Yeah, but that's probably in-house. That's probably like an American news. I don't know.
It would happen in Canada too, right? Didn't Justin?
Again, I don't know how nationally newsworthy that is. Or maybe they are looking at it from, because again, they don't have the historical context. And not everybody like really gets into the news like that. So maybe they see the Canadian prime minister get in trouble for it. And they're like, oh, because he did it at a party mockingly.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do it to show solidarity.
Oh, no.
You know, say, like, look at him. He's at a party. He's acting Jamaican.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing the limbo.
Yeah.
I don't even know what other white shit he was doing as a guy in blackface, but these people are like, they're like wearing the clothes.
What kind of
like
what
kente
do you mean?
Cloth and shit?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, man.
But at the same time, it's like, man, it's pretty good makeup.
They did a good job with it?
Yeah, a pretty decent good job. I would say so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm not mad at the final product.
Yeah?
I'm not even mad at the fucking gesture. I mean, I know that I'm supposed to be, but it's like, they're just trying to be like, and like one of the captions was like, now more than ever, I want to be black.
Oh, wow.
Black Lives Matter.
Oh, wow. Now more than ever, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You black people have so much power right now. How does it feel?
I don't know. I don't know how to wield it. I mean, because it's not like people who wield power justly get respected or even acknowledged.
Right.
So I got to start like really fucking up people's lives with this. You know, because yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to like bridge the gap of miscommunication when I should really be just like taking people out, like finding hardworking people and just like taking their jobs from them.
Don't do that. But you should be.
I should,
do
you know,
that.
You know what I mean? How do I know? How would I ever know the power I hold?
Uh-huh.
Unless I'm wielding it unjustly.
Yeah. That's how you know.
That's the problem with power.
Yeah.
The only true way to know how much power you have.
That is so deep.
Is to do it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why women are so fucked in the head.
Why do you have to bring this down on women?
Dude, because I'm connecting the dots.
Oh, okay.
I can't help that. I can't help where the universe connects the dots.
Okay.
Me, right? Because you get women get in a relationship and they have a man, right?
Yeah.
And that is necessary. Like that is like kind of a power. Like you have a person has you. I have a person has me. So like
sure,
we both have the power of having a person.
Yeah, yeah. Right? That's a lot of response. Yeah, with great power comes great responsibility.
With great responsibility.
Yeah.
And as soon as a woman gets that power, they're like, how can I prove that he won't leave me? You know what I mean? And just start fucking it up. Just like fuck it. Like
How?
Well, Eve made Adam eat the apple.
But we've already been through that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, I mean, that's step one.
Yeah.
But
like making them go to a lot of weddings and stuff.
No. Yeah,
and like dress up all the time.
You
go to brunch.
You didn't have this many friends when we met. Where are all these weddings coming from? No, it's just like that. This like making like these ridiculously inane tasks to prove devotion.
Yeah.
To prove loyalty, to prove love, or to like set your man up and like take him on Maury and put him in a green room with a sexy decoy.
Sexy decoys.
They gotta come back to sexy decoys. Oh my God, I would love for the sexy decoys to come back. They were the best decoys.
Man, I feel like somehow we should be able to use sexy decoys as like racist decoys, like plugging people in to see like test your racism.
Oh, that's what everybody thinks they are right now.
They do.
Everybody thinks they're an undercover non-racist.
Yeah.
We have too many of those.
We do. That's so true.
We need sexy decoys. We need that's what happened. The sexy decoy market shut down, and they needed to do something. They're decoys.
Yeah.
They have decoy skills.
So now they're racist. That's so true.
Because that's what needs to be uncovered right now. Yeah. Infidelity was the big thing back when, like, cheaters was big on TV. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know? And cops was always kind of big, but
we thought that was going to be a staple in our life. You know, apparently not.
Basically, it was like rice.
Yeah.
Cops was like rice.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't always eat it, but it's there. I can have it if I want it.
You have it just in case there's a pandemic.
Yeah.
Guess what? There's a pandemic.
Yeah.
Where did cops go?
Yeah, it's like, what's wrong? Like, when I turned around, I swear to God, we had a 10-pound bag of cops. What happened to all the cops?
I don't know. We thought it was going to be a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, but that is the sexy decoy is, again, the best decoy ever. But that's what I'm saying. So that's the kind of thing that women do with the power of being in a relationship. Is constantly making the man have to dance to prove it, you know? And I think that's an abuse of power.
It's an abuse
I think
of power.
Women abuse relationship power.
Huh. I don't know if I can argue with that.
It's emotional brutality. Because it's like, you know, what the fuck is happening?
Dance. Yeah. No, as a woman with a man, I want to see you dance. Like literally, women try to make men dance, right? Like, in order to marry me, we're going to take dance lessons and you're going to perform this dance at our wedding. Like, literally.
Yeah, but you, this is a bad time for you as a white woman to want to see me dance.
It is. Our relationship power is all like,
you can't
yeah.
say that in public.
That was so racist, huh?
Yeah, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you said you want to see me dance.
I just had a wedding. I just want
to. Dude, it's like, we're like, what, a couple days past Loving Day?
Loving Day?
This is the way you're acting?
Loving Day?
You're the one that sent me the article. You did not read this article. What did you just? You just send me shit like, he'll read it.
I was on, like, I woke up early and I started checking news and there was all these articles and they were blowing my mind and I just started sending them to everybody.
Yeah.
I had a moment. I broke down.
Loving Day is a day for interracial couples.
Oh, right. I did not read it, though.
Yeah. It was,
I meant to go back and read it.
I think it's the day, June 12th is what it is.
Yeah.
And I think that's the day where laws against interracial coupling were abolished.
Did you see the picture, though?
Yeah.
What did you take about that white man's face in that picture?
Oh, it was a man's face, though.
I wanted to judge it, and then I was like, oh, but he's just like, she's making him take the picture. And
exactly.
Like, he doesn't want to dance.
He doesn't want to be, he just wants to have caramel babies and fuck a black chick. That's all he wants to do. He loves this lady.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be this icon for interracial relationships.
Yeah.
He just
wants
to have one.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's got like kind of it's tough societally, right?
Yeah.
Because you have two different types of interracial relationships.
Yeah.
You have white man, black woman. You have black man, white woman.
Yeah.
Right? Somehow, black man, white woman kind of get even coolness points somehow. Like, when they come together as a couple.
Yeah.
It's like, look at them. Like, they dress alike. They're line dancing with each other. They're instead. Like, do all sorts of weird shit, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't work the same way when it goes to white guy, black woman.
Yeah, that's quite a relationship.
It always looks like a dork with a black chick.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how cool. So he's got that going on in the picture.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah. I'm not mad at him. We didn't do anything to celebrate Loving Day.
We just were us. That's how you celebrate, right? What is all this? I don't think we need to go above and beyond. Come on, Sydney, you know this. You just exist on the day and be a good person. That's all you got to do to celebrate Loving Day.
I mean,
how do you celebrate interracial day?
I don't know. I don't even know.
Just go out with signs? Is that what we have to do to celebrate and show that we mean anything now? We have to stand on a street corner with a sign?
No, we just do a bunch of weird, uncomfortable interracial shit. Like, what are the weird, uncomfortable interracial relationship things that people might have to bear with interracial couples for?
You're going to teach me to dance?
That's probably annoying to some people. It's like,
or we go
like,
out and we show off our dancing skills.
Yeah.
like you go first though, and then like I, I break in and like everyone's like, whoa.
Well, that's how everybody cheers.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit. Damn, they've been long enough together that she Puerto Rican now. Yeah. So that's
you start yelling at somebody and I join in like at a higher level.
You pop off?
Yeah, I pop off and they're like, oh, look, he taught her how to pop off. Yeah.
Why is this you getting to do a bunch of black shit?
What do you want to do?
This is like interracial couple blackface.
That's how I'm showing my support right now. That's how we do it.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to think of like some of the things that make me roll my eyes about interracial couples, but like it's like white women trying to do black shit. You know, it's like a white woman trying to act like she understands black culture because she's with a black guy.
Uh-huh.
It's like, we'll do that.
Yeah.
Do a lot of that on Loving Day.
I think I like Loving Day.
Yeah. So I get it. So I'll tell you one of my stories of dealing with racism as a white mom.
We are celebrating next year, Sydney.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good holiday. I don't know. I don't know. It's weird.
As good as the rest of them.
I don't know. It seems a lot of holidays are not as exclusionary. This is a very niche holiday.
It is.
Right? I think if I'm not mistaken, I did some Googling about interracial couples and their makeups and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It's like hard to remember.
Got a lot of numbers on you.
Because I also looked up like popular, because you can find, when I was doing that, I found a website that had like a population breakdown for people that were made by interracial couples.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's only 10 million Steph Currys out there.
Really?
Yeah.
But everybody is like, oh, the world is going to be these like little white brown people sooner or later.
They're lying to us about the numbers.
Huh? Yeah.
They're lying.
Huh. I feel like, do you have like an icon of an interracial couple? Like for me, it was like, I know they don't exist anymore, but like Seal and Heidi Klum.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, well, I'll fuck with that and I'll tell you why. Because they just did their own thing still.
Yeah.
They stayed who they were before they were together.
Yeah.
Right? I fuck with that.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't start wearing dashikis and shit.
No, she was still, like, in, like, she's still dressed up for Halloween however she wanted.
I don't know if I have a prototypical or an iconic interracial couple because I don't see color. I just see love between two people.
Yeah.
I just see a bond that has been forged through the adversity of social limitations and temptations, if you will.
See, that's why you're better than me right now.
Listen, you're the one that said it from your mouth to God's ears. I don't say stuff like that. I don't place value judgments on people. We're just two people here.
Yeah.
Connecting.
Yeah.
That's another thing too. They get real into like freaky weird sex. Like I feel like for a long time people
that's your interracial stereotype, isn't it?
I felt like for a long time people were expecting that of us.
Yeah.
You know, people were just like, look at you two. You guys work out. Mm-hmm. It was almost like the fitter an interracial couple is, the more people expect that they're like swinging from shit.
Yeah. It makes sense, right?
No.
No.
why does it make sense to you?
Because it's like it has to be fit people, right? That's fair.
That's fair. There's a level of sex that can only be done if you can do a burpee.
Right, right.
So, agreed.
So, fitness. So, that's understood. In a racial thing, it's just like, oh, look, they're into, like, unconventional stuff, you know?
Yeah. So, they're butt stuff. They're doing butt stuff. They're butt-plugging.
Yeah.
They're butt-plugging. There's also a certain level of sex where you got to be able to do at least 3 pull-ups. Otherwise, you can't do this sex.
Get a hold body weight.
Yeah,
definitely.
Once you got a hold body weight, you know, that's I mean, man, we have boring sex. Yes. We're not really whole. We're just fit for other reasons. We're not even holding body weight.
No.
Well, we should be holding. We should. That's what a 69 should be. Holding each other. You just float in the air. You're just holding each other's body weight and you float. That's what you have to achieve. That's probably what interracial couples are for. Like the yin and the yang, the two different colors, the black and the white.
Yeah.
Holding each other's body weight simultaneously.
Yeah.
Floating in the air.
You think we're like, we got to try it because maybe something happens. Like maybe you like transfer over into the spirit world or something.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you'll get a little black in you and I'll get a little white in me.
That does
if I'm
like,
looking at the symbology.
Yeah, I see it.
Like that is the oneness that we're trying to achieve. little dipping dots.
Yeah. little dip.
Yeah, that was, you learn anything this week?
But I learned a little bit about World War II.
Oh yeah? Just trying to get out of anything that has to do
with
what's going on. I was like trying to get out of like all of this, like, oh, white people are racist, whatever. And then started looking, reading, listening to this book rather on Audible about the Zulu warriors, right?
Right, yeah.
And he gives kind of like a rundown of the rise and the fall of the Zulu warriors before he gets into the details of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how basically what happened is white people.
Well, always.
British Empire.
You thought you were getting away from it, huh?
Couldn't possibly. You can't possibly. White people are everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like, when it's like the rise and fall of like a civilization.
White
people are always there.
Never.
It's like lurking in the background, just like in the picture. It's just like, yeah, it's.
Bringing their dirty, diseased selves over.
Yeah. It's like you just like look at like early pictures of this civilization. Like, is it a white guy in the background?
Yeah, it's the beginning of the end.
So, and then even more so, he talks about the, you know, they kind of like infiltrate the Zulus, so to speak.
Of course they do. They
butt fuck them, and they have like them there, but they could never really become a full empire again because they made them fight with each other. The British made the Zulus fight with each other, which is like, you don't even have to know how they did it.
Yeah.
You know how they did it.
Yeah.
Like the same way white people do it all across time. Or the same way it's supposed to be done. It's not even like how white people do it. It's the same way it's supposed to be done. You beat them in a battle.
Yeah.
Right? And then you change their value system into something that only you can supply.
Yeah.
And then make people fight.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm watching Vikings now too, right? And Vikings are white people, but they're like uncivilized white people going into civilized white people territory and like messing them up.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the things. Like, if you like the book Gun, Germs, and Steel.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people say that it's a racist book. I don't think it is. I think it's a book that shows like the historical happenstance, like the luck of traits that had to go into this culture for them to be able to do what they did across the world.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think it's, what were we just talking about? I'm sorry.
The Zulus, about white people, about the way that.
Oh yeah. So white people were the only people really doing that. They were the only people going in, changing a culture's value system to something that they supply.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
what was it that they could supply?
Sometimes it was Christianity. Sometimes it was like they'll, you know, like with the Comanches really valued horses.
Yeah.
So they control the supply of horse. You know, they were able to do that. So these people value cattle.
Yeah.
So they, you know, fucked with that real heavy. But then they start altering, you know, what like culture, like start to give them cultural things to value differently. And it's like, like Genghis Khan, for example.
Yeah.
Like he would go. He'd fuck up a town, but then, like, they take strong, capable people that, and, like, they'd absorb them.
Right.
You know, like, you guys are us now.
Yeah.
You know, so don't worry about your old culture. Like, white people do this thing, or Europeans, rather, would do this thing where they, like, let the culture keep its culture.
Yeah.
Right? But with our new value system.
Yeah.
So it becomes, like, I don't know, like it's like it's unsettled, right? Because everybody's trying to find their place in this new world.
That's a weird thing to try to put yourself into. Like to put yourself into, like, cause we take so many of our cultures for granted. Like this is the way the world is. This is like how you value it. This is why, you know, this is why you do what you do. Like our moral system and like how we treat each other. And, which I think is like at a weird place right now because we used to all get that from religion. Like it used to be, this is where it is. And like, that's not as big in people's lives anymore.
Yeah.
So I think there's like, you know, before all of this in crazy, before 2020 started, like there was a question about this. It's like, where is culture going? And like, what is, it's kind of almost like, what is the backbone of culture at this point? Like, what is keeping us together?
It almost seems like the Zulus were hanging around. Like, if you characterize them, or like caricaturize them rather, both at the time, it's like the Zulus are hanging around and they're like, there's nothing on earth better than cattle and family.
Yeah.
And then white people came along and was like, have you ever heard of money?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, then it's like, ah, and then everything goes crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Can you imagine like anybody bringing in something into our life right now that would make us question all of our value system?
I think that's what's happening right now.
Is that what's happening?
I think our value system is, there is an attempt at altering the value system of white people, though.
Yeah.
First time in history.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah.
And I don't think it's going to work per se, because it's it needs to be something solid. Like, it has to be logic based. That's why all these tribes and all these different empires get sucked up into it, because they're like, fuck. Well, when you put it like that, I see how that can work for us.
Yeah.
So, but right now we don't have something that can work for everybody. Like that, that's like, that, that's the thing culturally that the white empire did, is they came to everybody and made them an offer they couldn't refuse.
The money?
Just partnership.
Whatever it was,
partnership. Like a piece of the pie, or however, like, listen, here are rules.
Yeah.
You seem to be in a place that doesn't necessarily have rules. It's kind of, I mean, it's not necessarily anarchy, but you can walk around like knowing that you can be murdered.
Right. For an argument. Yeah. That's a weird place to put yourself back. And that wasn't too long ago.
No, it's some places still now, in like less civilized places.
Yeah.
Where you get in an argument with a neighbor, that could be, one of you might die.
Yeah.
And that's like as per expectation.
Yeah.
Not just because it went too far. It's like, dude, you've insulted my family. You got to go.
Yeah.
So, and then the white people show up, is like, you know, you could not do that and wear Nikes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's weird, because in my mind, like, the rule of law is always like, yeah, of course that's better. You know, the rule of law, it's better. But, yeah, I feel like on some level, like all of this stuff that's going on right now is part trying to claim it's part of the rule of law. You know, it's like, well, this is the right way to treat human beings, you know. I think it's gone, you know, too far the other way. But there's also, it takes you back to a rule of hierarchy where you're like, well, maybe that shouldn't be snuffed out all the way, because there's something to that. Like, you know, it keeps people in check. Like, it keeps people like, no, you know, like, don't go too far with your craziness just because you think you're what's the word? Like, when you're righteous, just because you think you're righteous, don't go too far with that.
That's how you end up with warlords.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's like, you need to have, people have to be able to earn respect to be able to move and ascend positions.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't earn the respect of the people, you know, if you can't show peaceful, like, I don't know. Just like, I'm just thinking about, I'm trying to, without mentioning it, relate it to the in Seattle, like, people took over a 6-block radius.
Yeah, what has happened there? I haven't followed that at all.
Well, I know it's just, they call it, it's an autonomous zone.
Yeah.
It's the it's called CHAZ. I forget what the CH stands for, but autonomous zone, or the A and the Z. I know that much.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's this place that's supposed to be free of policing and run for the people, by the people. But within 2 days, somebody rose up as a warlord.
I feel like places like that are like one step away from raping. Like, as a woman, I'm like, I don't want to be anywhere near that place. Like, they're going to start raping women in that place.
Yeah, once it goes bad. I mean, like, that's the thing, too. When you have a bunch of people, it seems like historically, when you look at people that try to start these new societies, it either ends up being like a fuck cult or a violence cult.
Yeah.
Right?
Either way, not good for women.
No, not at all. Not at all. Maybe a little better. I think it might be better, a little bit better when it's a fuck cult, because I think there might be some powers that, I think the way, because it revolves around the women a little more when it's a fuck cult.
Yeah.
Because it revolves around, and not to sound sexist, but like, women, you know, like, allow sex to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it's a violence cult.
Yeah.
Like, it's the men are in charge.
Yeah.
like it revolves around might. So yeah. like the biggest guy.
Yeah.
You know, when it revolves around fucking, it's the loosest pussy. it's the biggest pussy. It's either the biggest guy or the biggest pussy. What do you want to be ruled by?
I don't like either of those options.
Yeah. Yeah, but what were you saying you were learning about?
Oh, World War II?
Okay, we got a little off track.
Yeah. It's just, you know, a little bit about naval battles and all. You know, it's just kind of the intensity of back then, you know, the aircraft carrier. This was, like, new to wars at that time. And so everybody was, you know, nobody knew how impactful the aircraft carrier was going to be.
Yeah.
And they take, like, 2 years to build. And part of the reason why we won World War II is because our Americans were so good at repairing aircraft carriers. Like the Battle of Midway, like everything, you know, it's so the Japanese attacked an aircraft carrier.
Did you
carrier.
Not want to say Japanese? Were you trying to talk about World War II without mentioning any brown people at all? Is that how you're going to play this? You can't get canceled talking about World War II, right?
I don't know anymore.
That can't happen.
I was going to say it was a great, great battle for the Americans. I don't know. Yeah. So the Japanese attacked an aircraft carrier. And then they went back and, you know, they have to refuel and stuff. And then they went back out searching for other warcraft carriers. But when they found this, I think it was the Arizona, they found it the second time. The Americans had done such a good job repairing it that they thought it was an undamaged aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
So they attacked it again. It was.
Wait, the Japanese attacked it again?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, how do we. See, that might be some revisionist history shit, right? Because it's like, look, we did such a great job. They thought this was brand new.
Yeah.
So they attacked it again. What if they just attacked it again?
They might have just attacked it again.
They might have just attacked it again. It was like, hey, brought that same motherfucker. Get it again. Get it again. Let these motherfuckers know.
Yeah, yeah.
And how do they know they were like.
Well, I think they have all the transcripts from the Japanese, too. They have all the, you know, it's shared information, what was going on over in the Japanese headquarters.
And the Japanese were like, damn,
we found another aircraft. We're going to bomb it.
Fuck. But, I mean, they would have bombed it either way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
It's just a weird, because that's something that they talk about in this book about the Zulus, is it lets you know that that's going to happen. Like, there's going to be some of these accounts, some of these skirmishes, where the Zulus saw it going a different way than the British.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be in there.
Yeah, yeah. They talk a lot about how the Japanese, you know, they all wanted to go down with a ship, and how proud they were. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we look at, like, the kamikaze bomber and stuff. And since I've been watching the Viking show and talking about the difference of values and how, you know, the Vikings were so into, I want to die in battle, because if I die in battle, I have honor and I will go to heaven with Odin and I will sit in a great hall with my family, you know, and it'll be amazing. Like
Valhalla.
Nothing worse than like not being like old people were like, please bring me to battle with you so I can die there. You know, like I don't want to just die of old age.
Yeah.
You know, so we like just myself when growing up and you're thinking about the Japanese and the kamikaze bombers and the way it's like shown to you and described to you. And it's, you're like these crazy people. And like, you know, like I feel like nobody ever took the time to really explain their culture. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, if that's their culture is about the honor and like you die with honor, like that makes more sense.
Yeah.
The way that they have to go down with.
And I like that too, because I've always identified kind of with the warrior spirit a little more than the Holy Spirit, I think. Right? Because religion is tough, man.
Yeah.
Like when you, and I think, like we are spiritual creatures.
Yeah.
And we have to nurture that.
Yeah.
Somehow. And you can nurture it with religion, or you can nurture it as a warrior, or even you can be a pretty good fucker. Like if you fuck's good.
If you have the fuck spirit.
Yeah.
that guy's got the fuck spirit.
Oh man, she just got taken over by the spirit of fuck. A lot of twerking. But
people do. Like the sexual like spirit. Yeah, like that, that becomes their identity.
They embody that.
Yeah, and they get to the highest level of it. Like they're like becoming enlightened by it. It's whatever takes you to some form to try to find some form of enlightenment, which is like understanding, right?
So, but we have like a few ways that's done.
Yeah.
Right. So it's through religion.
Uh huh.
Through fight.
Yeah.
Through fuck.
Uh huh.
And through craft. Those are the only.
You had four.
Those are the four ways to achieve enlightenment.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Well, right now it's like.
Those are the four proven ways that don't fucking destroy society.
Well, that's there is kind of a fifth.
Okay.
Right. I realized that as I was saying it, and this might be a little bit of a stretch, so we'll talk it out.
Okay.
So we got, let me just go through the four again.
Okay.
Because we'll set it up like that. So we got through religion,
mm-hmm.
through fight,
mm-hmm.
through fuck, through craft, and through change. Right? Mm. Because a lot of these periods where enlightenment happened came through like a period of like tumultuous change.
Yeah.
Right? So that can also... inflict enlightenment, I think is what it does. But it's, you know, my way, I understand the warrior's way. Like that stuff makes way more sense to me, because even God as we know God is like super kind of needy the way it's presented. It's like, you got to do this for me. You got to do that for me. You know, it's like, dude, just put somebody in front of me. Give me a spear, Valhalla. You know, that makes so much more sense to me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like I was like, you know, still listening to that book, The Other Side of History, and they're talking about Greek religion.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it sucked for them, even more so than it does now, because, like, keep in mind, we have one God. We know, like, because, like, the Greeks ended up getting butt-fucked eventually, like, we only have one God now.
Yeah.
They used to have a god for everything.
Yeah.
So they're walking around all day, every time, like just trying to avoid offending a god.
Yeah. 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 And you can offend all of them easily.
Dude,
like,
just without even realizing it. You're just walking down the street like, oh, fuck, I almost offended the god of stepping right there.
And their gods were spiteful and they were envious and they were like you do too good at something. They're like, ah, I don't like that guy. I'm going to spite him.
Yeah, that's all, and then that's all they worried about all day long, was trying to make sure that they didn't achieve too much, in case so the gods would just like let them be.
Yeah,
you know, like there's this story. This guy's name, let me see, it was Polycrates.
Polycrates.
I mispronounced
it. Sounds like he might be good at going down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything to do with that?
That's back when they were a sex cult.
Okay.
That's Greece was a sex cult.
Okay. I know what his cult was about. Yeah.
he needed to get in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know, you got to get you got to carve out a place for yourself, or lick out a place for yourself.
Yeah. When I see the angle he took. Uh-huh.
When the biggest pussy rules, you got to lick out a nice little niche for yourself.
Uh-huh.
So he was doing really well, you know, looking at a lot of pussies, and he started to get concerned that something bad was going to happen to him.
Of course.
So he went to a seer, his name was Amethyst.
Yeah.
I think it was a seer of some kind. Went to Amethyst, and he was like, yo, dude, I'm licking so many pussies, dog. Like, something bad is about to happen to me. Like, what do I got to do to make sure I can just keep licking all these pussies? And not have to worry.
Yeah.
And Amethyst was like, whatever your prized possession is, just get rid of it.
Oh.
Just get rid of it. And so he went home, got his most prized ring.
Cut his tongue off.
Yeah. No, come on. Come on. Polycrates ain't cut off no tongue. You know that. So he goes home. Takes a ring. It would be hilarious if it was, his tongue. But it was his ring. Could have been a cock ring. Didn't even say what kind of ring it was. It's just in a ring. Fair enough, yeah. I'm not even using this thing. I'm Polycrates. Come yeah. on. I'm not Podicrates.
No.
So he throws his ring into the ocean.
Okay.
Right? Feeling good about himself. Like, just like skipping on clouds of licked pussies.
Yeah.
And he goes to a rest, or he has like somebody bring him like a feast and bring him some fish from the, like fresh fish from the finest market.
Yeah.
And he cuts open the fish and
his ring is in there.
It sure was.
What?
It sure was.
No.
And he goes back to Amethyst.
Yeah.
He's like, Amethyst, dog, I got rid of my, I threw my ring into the ocean, came back in a fish. What should I do? Amethyst is like, well, you're fucked. And then Amethyst left the room and then packed his bags and left town.
What?
Yeah, Amethyst like, yeah, sorry to hear about that. I'm getting the fuck out of here. This shit is crazy.
That is a bad sign, dude.
Dude, you've offended a god. They're going to get everybody in your life. I don't want to be a part of this shit. He just moved.
What?
Yeah. So that's the culture. That's how much they believed in the will of the gods.
Yeah.
Where, so it's like, yeah, I'd rather be a Spartan. Do you know what I mean?
Do you ever think about that though? Because I feel like the Spartans would fall in this camp of like, your fate is determined. Like your fate is already determined, right? I feel like warrior people do that because you can't fear what's going to happen. You know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So that's like their mantra that they live by.
Yeah. Well, I mean, their fate would be dying in glorious battle.
Yeah.
Like, that is their fate, and that is predetermined. And, like, if you don't achieve that fate, then you failed.
Yeah.
You know, dude, that's way, way easier than, like, you know, like, losing your mind paranoid about every sip you take because, like, did I offend the god of water? Did I offend the god of wine? Like,
I guess you've got to accept. Bread? Yeah.
You know, it's just like, fuck, man. Just give me a shield. Can I just get a shield?
Yeah.
And 300 other dudes. It's all I need.
Yeah.
It's all I need.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that's it. I think this is a a thick, hearty episode.
Yeah.
I don't know what we did here. We did it.
Did something. We were here.
We did it.
We showed up.
This happened.
This was fated. This is what it was supposed to be.
Dude, that's just, I mean, also that's the other way to achieve enlightenment. Podcasting.
Well, this is craft, right?
Yeah, this is, Two Jack Rose. It's religion, fighting, fucking. What was after fucking?
Crafting.
And then it was change.
Change.
And then Two Jack Bros.
That's all of them.
That's it.
Oh, I thought Two Jack Bros was going to be the five all in one because we do a little bit of all of it.
Oh, yeah. You squeeze, when you close that finger, that hand.
Yeah, that is Two Jack Bros.
And we will fist you so good. We fist it into you.
Yep.
Yeah. Whatever. I think we're good. We ended on fisting somehow. We brought it back. Yeah. We did our thing. We checked all the boxes. Yeah. So shout out to
all our fisted brothers.
All our brothers in arms.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters in arms. Mm-hmm. And it's let me see if I can do this without looking it up.
Ooh, look at you
Let's
go.
See. Kevin McGrann and Chris Bruno.
Oh.
Boom. Don't forget about them. And then we have I'm gonna look it up.
Such a strong start, though.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty. It was a good start. But here we go. I could have just. Oh yeah, there we go. All right, I knew it started with two mics.
Yeah.
Mike Butler, Mike Levy.
Yeah.
Liz, Doc, Phil Clark, Kevin Stevens, Julian from Canada, and Meg. What up? Kevin Lau, Mary Jo, Natalie, Janelle, Raj. Courtney, Rick, Andrew Pace.
Yes, the man.
And Keith Buzz, Kyle Hancock, Erica Daniels, Levi Mercer, Justin Masabi, and...
Let it flow through you, Sydney Gant.
Okay. Logan, Ryan, Roger, Downs, some old guy. Nick Cupsey and his two books, Lost in the Mail and The Five People You Meet in Wawa, and then Saved by the Wreath, the company Saved by the Wreath. Who was that? Joe Francis and his girlfriend. Maybe they're married now. Who knows? Maybe they died from COVID. Who knows? Who knows? All right. Of course, Circadian Clock, all of the podcasts in the podcast family. I'm listening back to this. We might do another one tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see what this one was. We'll see. All right. Thank you so much.
Got you.